morning, good evening, good coding, campers. It's Monday, and that means it's time for MSDN Radio, the show that helps developers find what they're looking for. Good code, good conversation, but most of all, good time. So here to bring us into the week is our host, Mike Benkovich.
All right. Hey, and thank you, Eric, and I'm back for another week of MSDN Radio. This is the talk radio show where we're going to get out and help developers know what do they need to know to get through the week with all the stuff that's going on. It's really nice to have some insight as to the new releases, the new things that are going on. And then we will always bring in Ask the Expert, someone who is really deep into a technology, so you can call in and participate in the show. If you want to participate in the show, the way that you do that is by registering, first of all, to be in the audience, and then once you do, just put your question into the queue, and if you have a question, click on the Q&A panel, put in whatever it is. We'll give you the phone number to dial in, and then from there, the operator will ask you your name, press star 8, and then we'll know you're ready to ask a question, and then we'll queue you up and get you in so you can talk. This week, we've got a lot of interesting things going on. We have the release of the Office products have shown up inside of the MSDN subscription, so you can go out and you can download all of those great Office products and be able to use them inside of your applications. The subscriber downloads are one way to get it. You can also get it in a number of other ways. Other recent releases that have been pretty exciting is the Silverlight has gone. We've got Visual Studio 2010 available. We've got the SQL 2008 R2. Lots of good technologies and trying to navigate your way through. How do you keep up with all that? That's where the Microsoft events come in, and we've got a lot of different ways you can get information, whether it is webcasts, which are hour-long download, go out and do stuff. This week we've got a lot of webcasts. For instance, on Tuesday this week we've got some SharePoint webcasts going on, working with data technologies, basically going against the old data and all of that good stuff. We have a couple of other webcasts that are going on, an hour in the cloud with Windows Azure, and just a whole slew of them. If you go out to msevents.microsoft.com, there's a really cool calendar that you can actually download, and it shows you the schedule by day of what's going on. You can also go out and check out the top 10 downloads, and that will show you some great webcasts that are available for going out and seeing what's going on. If you are checking out the msdn.microsoft.com website, you're going to see information about Silverlight, the Web App Gallery, and some other things. And, that is a way you can go out and see what's going on. A lot of times people are wondering, okay, well, what about those big conferences, things like NIX or PDC? And, if I am not able to be at the conference, how can I, get information about that? And, I'm pretty happy to say that they generally are making that content available so you can go out and actually download it through streaming from those conferences. For instance, at the recent NIX, which was about a month ago, you can go out and you can click on live.visitmix.com and put /videos. It'll take you to where all the videos are for all the sessions. Take a look at those sessions. You're going to find today's guest, Christian Shorman, in quite a few of these sessions talking about a product that is very near and dear to what the conference was really focused on, which is the Windows Phone. And as a developer working with something called Sketchflow, it's really great to have some tools that are nice, viewable, be able to go out and see what's going on and understand how to put together the different components and stuff. Christian is the product manager for the Blend product. He's been working in building tools for artists and working with graphics for quite some time. Christian, you there?
Yes, I am. Hello. Good morning.
Well, I want to welcome you to today's show, the MSDN Radio. In our conversations before now, I know you're big in music, and you actually have a degree in musicology. What's that?
Well, music theory, really. I studied music originally, not computer science, and I got into making tools for artists, basically, because I wanted to have computer tools for music. And then one day I saw the first computer graphics animations on TV in Germany, and I said, oh, my God, I need to make electronic movies to my electronic music. And so I got started into 3D animation systems, and because at that time animation systems were a little expensive to buy, so they were still, like many tens of thousands of dollars. And I basically started with a friend to build my own, which was a lot of fun.
Oh, that's That's pretty cool. So you are really building not tools for geeks so much, but tools for the artists.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really fascinated by the abilities that computers give people to take their imagination and make it real. You know, for me it was always my hands are limited. What I can do with my hands, you know, has its limits. And I've always been fascinated by, you know, using tools to greatly extend the capabilities, you know, that I have with the facilities I have. And computers are just amazing because I can take something, you know, right out of my imagination and make it real, right? In music, I could go and have an idea for music in my mind, and I don't need to have an orchestra available or, you know, like incredible skills in my hand to play myself every single instrument in the world. But with a computer and a composition tool, I'm able to actually make this music sound, to take this idea I have in my head and make it real. And I think that is an incredible capability and an incredible liberator, because it really divides between, you know, what are craft skills and what is imagination. And it really kind of like gives wings to you know, like to the imagination to do things that it never otherwise could do. And in other areas like 3D modeling or CAD or even document writing, it's so many areas where computers just, you know, set imagination free. And I think that's the most fascinating thing, or the most fascinating side of computers for me.
I think I'd have to agree with you. I think that's about where a lot of people are like, well, how can I get that song out of my head and into, you know, something where I can share it? So the so when you think about music, what is your instrument of choice? I mean, are you purely doing the computerized, you know, laying things out, or do you play keyboards or drums or some other way to get the music in and then play with it?
No, actually, originally I studied classical guitar, I spent many hours practicing guitar, and I still play classical guitar. For the hours I invested in it, not very well, I would say, but I still do. But for composition, I almost exclusively use keyboards and electronic instruments.
Well, that is the classical guitar, I know, is really one of the just a real interesting challenge to try to be able to make that into something that you can get it out of your head, and takes a lot of skill.
It's a fun instrument. It definitely is. I love the guitar. It's just a fun thing to do.
What kind of a guitar do you play?
A classical guitar. So I mostly play Renaissance music or Baroque music. So old music is really what I love to play myself.
Is there a particular make or model of a guitar that you prefer?
There are so beautiful guitars, most of them made by very small and very expensive instrument makers that I can't really afford.
Well, you know, and when you think about the instruments that you can't afford, you look at the technology and the tools. You guys have brought some really great tools and made it very affordable so people can get out and do this with software. For instance, like SketchFlow. You introduced me to SketchFlow a couple of years ago. The first time I saw it, I was watching your presentation. I was like, that is just, when you went out and you did, okay, well, let's export this application to Microsoft Word, my jaw dropped.
Yeah, SketchFlow basically is a product that came out of a big frustration that I and I think many other people who were designing software user interfaces, that the problem is, you know, like that over the last years our user interfaces have become increasingly dynamic. And, you know, like in the past we often have thought about user interfaces basically as static pictures with, you know, some thin veneer of interactivity on top of it. And, you know, like when you have a form over data application, that's often still the case. But many modern applications are much more dynamic. They use animation, they use states and transitions, and they have complex on-object UI and direct manipulation interface. They are intricately linked to data. And all these things are very, very hard to prototype effectively so that you can really communicate to the stakeholders in a project, you know, like all the things that that make up a piece of software under design. And really being able to prototype cost effectively and in a compelling way is a big hindering ground, you know, like for creating great software designs and great product designs. And SketchFlow really grew out of addressing this need for being able to cost effectively create compelling prototypes for highly interactive software. And that's really what it is. It's a prototyping system designed and targeted at the dynamic aspects of user interaction.
That's pretty neat. The So with the Expression 4, you know, the new release that is coming out shortly, I know a lot of people are asking, well, when is it going to be released? And
very
when they ask
soon,
that question, what do you say?
Very soon.
Very soon. I know there's a lot of stuff going on, but to get the new features and the new things, what gets you excited about the Blend 4, this iteration? What is the big rocks that people are going to really want to keep track of?
So there's a whole bunch of things in there. Probably the most immediate thing, you know, especially as you already were talking about Windows Phone 7, is that Blend 4 basically includes support for Windows Phone 7 so that you can now design and produce Windows Phone 7 applications using Blend. And the other big news to that is that a version of Blend that supports Windows Phone 7, albeit without Sketchflow, is included for free in the developer tools for Windows Phone. So today, if you download the technology previews that are available, this is still a separate download, so it's not yet included in the installer, but the core message here is if you download the free developer tools for Windows Phone, you also can get a free version of Expression Blend to do your UX design and UX production work for Windows Phone 7, and that's a real, real cool tooling story. I really believe we have probably one of the most elegant, if not the most elegant, tooling story for building mobile applications on the world, and I think that's a wonderful story to have.
Now, one of the other things about the Blend 4 that people are really excited about, and this is the whole product thing, is the Windows Phone. So Windows Phone supports the Silverlight story. Tell me how Expression Blend supports the phone developer.
So basically, Expression Blend targets the whole WPF / Silverlight family of presentation frameworks. So given that Windows Phone is effectively Silverlight, that wasn't super hard to do. So basically, Windows Phone applications are Silverlight applications. And so basically, all the features that you have available in Blend are also available for the phone as far as the platform supports them. There are some minor differences between Silverlight for the phone and Silverlight 4. So not everything that you can do in Silverlight 4 on the desktop is also supported on the phone, but almost everything is, which is really, really nice. So basically, developing applications for the phone is practically identical to making applications for the browser. It's really not much different. When you start Blend, you get the same interface, you get the same capabilities, you get a new project type that basically is there to create a project for Windows Phone, but that's pretty much where the main difference is. And Blend also, when you hit F5 or when you say run project, basically starts up the emulator or can directly launch applications on the phone, so you can directly try out whatever you're building on a phone device or in the phone emulator.
Okay. Does the Sketchflow project really fit with the phone metaphor, or is it kind of something that the developer and designer will be able to leverage and work together?
Yeah, you certainly can use Sketchflow to prototype phone projects. One important thing about Sketchflow is that Sketchflow is really not particular about what you prototype. So we have customers using Sketchflow for all kinds of things, from hardware devices over Flash applications, over HTML websites, to mainframes, and anything. Really, the whole point of making a conceptual prototype is that it's conceptual, so the implementation technology really shouldn't matter much. So you can absolutely use Sketchflow to do phone applications, and in fact, we have customers already doing this today. So that's fully enabled for sure.
Oh, that's great. The idea of being able to use a Sketchflow player and being able to get it out to a customer to get their feedback, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, that's kind of like one of the main pillars of Sketchflow, is the ability to basically, you know, prototyping or design in general is really a collaborative activity, and you really don't want to do everything just on your own, in your own mind or on your own green table. You know, like these things, they really need to go out and they need to be, you know, shared. And one of the big goals for Sketchflow was make it easy to actually take a prototype and share it with people and collect feedback on this prototype and have all this feedback, you know, like in an actionable form close to the prototype altogether. And that's really what the Sketchflow Player does. It's really a tool that lets customers basically explore a prototype, interact with the prototype, and at the same time add their feedback and give their feedback back to the designer.
Well, I can't wait to start playing with it. You know, this show has the unique feature of having phone lines, and so we take questions from the audience. And to do that, you just need to press the *8 if you've dialed into the number. If you've got the number and dialed in, just press *8, and that way I know that you're ready to ask your question. I do have a question from Bill down in Knoxville, Tennessee. Bill, you've got a question about Blend and TFS.
Yeah, if you're working in an environment where you're using 2010 TFS and several people on the project, and you have the Blend artifacts checked into Team Foundation, and the designer makes some changes and sends you the change, and you actually see some behavior that you weren't expecting, are there compare tools or other tools in TFS that will allow you to see how the current version differs from the previous version, so you can understand what the designer did or didn't do to help influence the problem?
There are, but they are not very sophisticated yet. So basically what we don't have today is on the UX side for the XAML files, there is no visual diff where you basically can see visual differences by looking at the screens of the project. You can, of course, always use the text-based diff, but admittedly that's not, unless you're a real good XAML reader, that's not a particularly interactive thing. So that's something where definitely in the future we're going to do more work on.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
So you literally, the nice thing about the expression tools is it does integrate into TFS, right, Christian?
Well, in fact, not just in TFS, but also with VS. Basically, Visual Studio and Blend use the same project format, so you can basically open the same project in Blend and VS. So many people, including myself, often have the same project open on their own computer, you know, like in both Blend and Visual Studio at the same time, and, you know, do the visual work in Blend, you know, do animations and state transitions and all that stuff in Blend, and do coding where required in Visual Studio in parallel, and that just works beautifully. And through TFS, that also works perfectly well for more distributed application development.
Well, that's, you know, just being able to share the code base and have a workflow between the designer and the developer, that's a pretty cool way to make it all kind of come together is to do that.
Yeah, and that was really one of our core design goals for Blend, to basically enable, a designer-developer workflow that would enable designers to participate more deeply in the process of software creation, you know, because the traditional model is kind of like you make a Photoshop comp, throw it over the wall, and that's basically what it is, and at that point the real active involvement of design ends, and that's really not a good idea, so we try to go much deeper. We also have, you know, very, very powerful pipeline integration with, you know, like the other standard graphics tools that people are using, such as Adobe Photoshop and Adobe Illustrator. So Blend can basically bring in multi-layer Adobe Photoshop comps, and you can immediately make these interactive by converting these into control skins or into, you know, details used for data or whatever you like. So it's very, very effective to actually work with content that is coming from the traditional design pipeline.
So let's see. So in order to go out and build the applications and have the whole team working together, that really does tie in. And the whole idea of Blend being a nice way to integrate the look and feel. What other features are in the expression suite that people should be paying attention to?
So the expression suite really has a number of products. So the other big product in the expression suite is Expression Web, which is basically a standards-based web editing tool. So, you know, for all things that have to do with, you know, normal HTML-based websites. And then there's Expression Encoder, which is basically a workflow encoding tool. So one of the main or big users of Silverlight is media applications, you know, where people consume video and other things through Silverlight players, and with very sophisticated streaming capabilities and so on. And, of course, in order to do that, to take advantage of that, you need to be able to bring your material into Silverlight formats, into the right video formats and so on. And Expression Encoder is basically a workflow encoding tool that's with a very nice user interface, and it can also be used in an, you know, encoding farm mode where you just use the engine without a user interface. It's basically a very effective encoding system, or transcoding system, I should say.
Okay. In the phone, and kind of talking through the excitement of that, what is the support for like multimedia, like video and other things on the phone, working through the tools and pieces that are available?
So pretty much anything that is supported in Silverlight is supported on, you know, in Silverlight for the phone. It's supported in Blend as well, so that's a pretty straightforward match. So you can put video on the phone with all these things like smooth streaming and all these things, so that all just works. That's a very, very elegant story.
Okay. There's another question. Bill's got a question about the Zune and how the Zune HD interface kind of fits in with the Blend story as well. Bill, are you there?
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah, go ahead and ask that question.
You know, the Zune HD has been out for 6 or 8 months now, and I was wondering if these applications that you're talking about can actually be target the Zune HD, and then how do you get those applications to the marketplace in order to get them, make them available to download?
I'm afraid I'm the wrong person to answer that. I can't really talk much about the Zune HD. So the Zune HD today does not have a Silverlight development story, and therefore I can't really talk about it much. What the story there is for developer, that's kind of like a little bit out of my field of knowledge. Sorry.
Okay, I was thinking that the phone was sort of a progression of the Zune technology, but maybe I'm mistaken.
I think there are certainly many, you know, like it's certainly coming out of the same lineage, but it is a different, the Windows Phone 7 has a different developer kit and has basically the Silverlight stuff is new to Windows Phone 7, so that does not exist for Zune HD today.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, the Zune has some capabilities for like XNA Studio. So Michael Klucher, who was on last week, talked a little bit about how the XNA Studio can be used to build both the Zune. And then Windows Phone can also, you know, leverage some of that same stuff. Does that help, Bill?
Yes. Uh-huh.
All right. But to kind of move along here, we've talked about, you know, the whole idea of the Windows Phone and the Sketchflow Player. How do people get started learning the Sketchflow and Blend and just XAML? What's a good way to get come to speed on that?
So. First place to start, I would say, is, you know, like we have a free trial version for Blend in general, or of course the phone version that will be part of the developer kit is free anyway. So download it, and there are a whole bunch of starter kits out there on our website that are a great place to start. Then for Sketchflow specifically, for prototyping, there has just come out a book on Sketchflow that's called Dynamic Prototyping. It was written by one of the people here at Microsoft, Chris Bernard and Sarah Summers. It's a very nice introduction into the whole prototyping process and prototyping specifically with Sketchflow. So that's definitely a great start if you're interested in prototyping. For learning Blend in general, there are several books out there on Blend, on developing with XAML and designing with XAML, and there's tons of material out there on the web to get started. I definitely recommend the starter kits, I'm just having a mental blackout. There is this new very, very cute website that Arturo Toledo did here at Microsoft that basically is a game-based training for Silverlight and Blend, which is very, very nice. Do you remember, Mike, do you remember the name of it?
The site that's got the training?
Yes, the beautiful little developer site. Oh, man, I have a blackout right now.
I generally tell people to go out to silverlight.net/get-started, and there's all the links to the different How Do I videos and the blogs and things like that. And I guess for me, I kind of go from there, but I can't think of which site it is that you're thinking of directly.
I'll have it in a second.
Yeah. Well, when it comes to you, then we'll go out and take that. We do have some other questions in here. Actually, that's, let's see, .toolbox, I think is what it's called.
Toolbox, yes, thank you. Thank you. That's what I was looking for. Thank you very much. Yes.
That would be Scott Davis, who just gave us that great answer. Thank you, Scott.
Yes, it's under microsoft.com/design/toolbox. That is actually a really cool place to start.
There's a question in here about that will blend for, and Sketch will include a template and themes for when you're going out and doing the Windows Phone apps.
Yes, so Sketchflow doesn't have a specific template because you really don't need it. Sketchflow lets you do that, you know, like right away, but if you want to create production stuff for a Windows Phone, so if you open Blend 4 with the Blend SDK for phone installed, so let me first start by today, if you want to do that, there are a number of separate downloads that you need. That is not how it will be once that stuff ships. So this will all be nicely integrated in one single download together with the phone SDK, but that's not yet how it is. So today there are still a number of separate downloads you need to make that work. But if you have that installed, if you have the phone SDK installed, basically when you open Blend, you'll get a new project type that is specifically for Windows Phone, and once you do that, on the design surface, you basically will see all controls automatically styled for Windows Phone showing up in the right look and feel and everything. So it's very nice, actually. You even see on the design surface kind of like an outline of the phone so that you get a feel for how it will actually look. So you also have some style resources that automatically, you know, like give you the right font sizes and so on and so on. So it's quite convenient to use the phone style.
Well, and then the style that you end up putting into an application, can you give some, I don't know, your feelings on where resources should be put? I mean, is it the kind of thing where you create different resource libraries or put them in the application level or in particular files?
Yeah, you can. I mean, that unfortunately depends on many things. I mean, my expectation is that many people on the phone will probably go for matching the overall look and feel of the phone OS because, I mean, that's pretty iconic and, you know, I think it makes a lot of sense unless you're writing a game where, of course, you're very likely to do a very customized look. But my expectation would be that most people will probably go for matching just basically the phone look. Which is, I think, personally very, very nicely designed. I like the design a lot. But if you decide to create your own custom look, basically all the styling and resource library capabilities that Blend has are available for you for the phone as well.
Okay. A lot of the, when you were talking, I was thinking of the resources, I was thinking of Pete Blois and some of the stuff he's done with the behaviors for the Blend and some of the tutorials where you've got gravity and all the rest of that. Will those work in the Windows Phone environment too?
Yeah, actually, if you look at our mix speech, if you just look for my name or Pete Blois's name, for Mix, you can basically watch that presentation, and on his blog, the address of that is also in the video. Basically, the source code for this application, including the physics engine, is posted on his blog. So, basically, what we did is we took an open source physics engine that was already in C# and basically ported this to, we wrapped it into behavior so that you can basically use the things from the physics engine right from inside Blend just with drag and drop without using any code. So to enable things on the screen, for example, with gravity and collision checking and, you know, all these physics-based behaviors, you can just do that interactively with drag and drop in Blend, which is very cool. And Pete made an example for Windows Phone for Mix where he basically uses the same physics engine that we had already on our blocks or on CodePlex for quite some time and just basically made sure that it worked on the phone and, you know, showed an example how you could build a game using this physics engine and how you could actually use Blend as a perfectly convenient level editor to basically visually create all the levels for a labyrinth game. It's a very neat sample, so I definitely recommend to download that.
Well, that's some very cool stuff. I guess the call to action then is to send people out to your blog on electricbeach.org?
Yeah, that's a good place to start. I have lots of pointers there to other things that are really fun to look at.
And then to follow you on Twitter, which I put up on the screen before. Well, it's amazing how fast time goes, and we are out of time. Next week, we've got Scott Guthrie coming on, who's going to be talking about everything developer tools related. So if you want to participate in the show, go out and register. We've got the shortcut to tinyurl.com/msdnradio-7 for next week's show. And then we've got Steve Fox is coming on to talk about SharePoint week after that, and we've got Mark Rasinovich lined up to come out and talk about Windows and what do people need to know to be able to go out and build really cool apps and really light up the applications. So that is it for this week. I want to thank you, Christian, for coming on.
You're very welcome.
I look forward to doing this again. Hopefully you'll be able to come back, and we'll continue our conversation. But until then, we'll talk to you next week on MSDN Radio.
So that's it for this Monday. Go to MSDNradio.com and click the registration link if you want to participate in the next show. Until then, happy coding.